Blog Talk Radio.
This is the ACAC Radio Network. Welcome to Ministry Beat, a show designed to highlight the latest happenings here at Allegheny Center Alliance Church with your host, John Stanko. This program will focus on people, events, and current ministries at ACAC, a vibrant urban congregation in the heart of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And now, here is your host, John Stanko.
Well, hello out there in Internet Radio Land. It's been a month since I have been with you. I was on the road quite a bit and didn't want to pre-record and didn't really have the time to do that. I was one stretch, 8 days, I was on a bus for a Returning to the Roots of Civil Rights tour, and so that would not have worked. I was just never really near a phone to be able to do this, and that's how you do the show. And then two other Tuesdays, I was in Oklahoma City, and last Tuesday, I can't remember where I was. Oh, yeah, I was in Orlando at Christian Booksellers, so I was on the road again. So four consecutive Tuesdays, and I just made a decision that, nope, not going to go there and do that. Just going to pick it up again in July. So that's what we're doing, looking out the window. It was beautiful just a little while ago, but as it has gone this summer in Pittsburgh, it's looking like it's going to rain. And I have tickets for the Pirates game tonight. I had them last night. We had a 25-minute delay, and then it rained. There was one cloud. It was blue all around the cloud, and it rained on us for two innings. So Pittsburgh has been a strange place this summer. Lots of water, lots of rain. So it looks like we're going to get some more, and I have tickets for tonight. Pastor Sheldon and I are we're going to go to the game. So rain delays are just such a pain. They last at least 45 minutes, and the games already go late, and so now you have more time added on. In fact, last night was the first game I stayed through the whole game this season, generally leaving at the end of the seventh or eighth inning, and just gets too late, and I get up early, and especially when there is a rain delay. But anyway, it's good to be back. It's good to have you listening. I have my buddy, my colleague, my cohort, Greg Hughes, is going to join us today because my thinking is, and I may change on this, that you know we have this new program. It's not a radio program. It's through the ACAC website called Transforming Conversations with Pastor Rock and hosted by Greg Hughes. And Greg has done the internet radio show Magnify from time to time. So I just hate that these interviews are only on the website. I like to get them out for broader distribution. So my thinking is that the weeks that I don't have a guest, we'll just play Transforming Conversations, one of the shows, and there are 19 of them so far. Or maybe we will take it and make it its own show, because when you hear it played later, it has an intro just like a regular radio show, so it can stand alone. So I don't know what to do. So anyway, we will see what we can do. Anyway, I'm going to go ahead and bring Greg on right now. And Greg is no stranger to radio. Greg, welcome to Ministry Beat here today.
Thanks, John. Good to be with you.
Yeah, and we've had some fun yesterday. We were up in Beaver Falls shooting a show, and
that was a lot of fun.
I'm sorry. I'm watching the rain. I mean, just roll in here. That's why I kind of stumbled here. And so, anyway, yeah, you enjoyed it, I hope.
Oh, I did. Yeah, and I always love to hear how ministries are being, done throughout the city. Sometimes we get in our own little way of thinking, in our own little mind bubble, if you will, thinking that we're the only ones doing ministry, but there's a world of people out there doing ministry, and it's always refreshing to see other folks, doing their thing for God.
Yeah, and we were in Beaver Falls at Reach Community Church, and Pastor Tim Blanerick has had some involvement at ACAC in helping us, at least consulting with us, as we established the Church in the Park outreach. Adam and Lindsay Bishop certainly have spearheaded that ministry, but Tim did have some input because he has done it for 20 years, so now he's using that up in Beaver Falls to help grow his church. So we're doing a TV show together, which people can see at Vimeo.com, V-I-M-E-O.com, /John Stanko. And you've been instrumental in making that happen. You've been the director and producer, and I really appreciate it. And so I hope it's been the whole thing has been an enjoyable experience for you, because you've done a great job.
Well, yeah, I so believe in what the whole purpose message and what it's about, you know, because once we're free to operate in our purpose and what God has designed for us to do, you know, it is so freeing, and life just becomes so much better. So my little contribution, how I'm able to help out is, you know, I'm just happy to do it and enjoy working with you, even though, you know, it's all about you. I enjoy working with you.
Well, it took me a while for me to get that through to you, but I'm glad you finally got the message. Yeah, is it raining on the north side? Because it's pouring out here in Monroeville.
Well, it did rain. I mean, it opened up like just buckets for about 2 or 3 minutes, and now it's stopped again, and the sun's back out. I don't know. It's
yeah,
weird.
I think we may be in the path of that storm. So, anyway, you know, there's a lot we could talk about, and I know you've got to get out here soon, and I don't want to hold you, but talk to us a little bit about transforming conversations. What it is. How did it come about? What was the thinking, and just talk to us a little bit about that outreach and initiative.
Yeah, the Transforming Conversations started. It was really Pastor Rock's brainchild, if you will. We were doing a recording about a year ago, and he had mentioned that he would like to possibly do something like this. Because he said, you know, I have 30 plus years of study and teaching and, you know, biblical insight and counseling experience and interpretation. And he said, I have all this that, you know, I want to give away. I want to empower and give to whoever wants it, you know. And he said, think about an idea of what we can do to make that happen. And so the thought came, well, why don't I just throw different biblical topics, biblical things at you so that, you know, we can get a better grasp? Because there's a lot of times when we read Scripture, especially for me, that I interpret mm-hmm. Scripture through my experiences, through my understanding, through how I'm feeling, through
sure.
whatever it is at the time, that really is not accurate. You know, I don't have a good grasp of the Aramaic language or the Greek language in order to understand how it is being said, or the culture in which it was written, and understanding what Christ meant. In that example, when he said it's easier for a rich man to get
right.
into
mm-hmm.
heaven than it is for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle, or something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, if just reading it like it is, you're thinking, what is he talking about? You know, but come to find out that a lot of the structures and the way that they built their buildings back then, their entrances look like the eye of a needle.
Mm-hmm.
And so when Jesus was saying it's easier for a camel to get through the eye of a needle, he's referring to it's easier for a camel to walk through our entrances to the buildings. You know,
mm-hmm.
so just understanding culture, understanding things really helps us in understanding what Scripture is. So I pitched that to him. I said, what do you think about just having a time where I can throw different Scripture at you, throw different biblical topics that I would venture to say most of us that we really don't understand how to take it and how to apply it. And he said, yeah, that's great. Let's go for it. And so we initially was going to call it the Pastor's Corner, And we actually did our first couple shows was referred to as a pastor's corner. And after we were done taping, they were so good. You know, I mean, once the light bulb started coming on with me, we were done taping. I said, Pastor Rock, these conversations we're having, they're so transforming to me because they're not at all what I thought they were, and they're so much easier to apply than I dreamed they would be. And he said, well, why don't we just call it Transforming Conversations instead of the Pastor's Corner? He said, because that's what it seems to be. And I said, that's great. Let's do it. So,
yeah.
So we changed it to Transforming Conversations, which exactly what it is, you know. And they really have been a blessing in transforming to me. You know, I hope it's ministering to other people. So that's kind of the humble beginnings of it and where it is. And Pastor Rock has said that he has had folks come up to him thanking him for his interpretations and reinforcing what Scripture is saying that way. So it is doing what, you know, we had envisioned for it to do, and it is blessing folks.
Yeah, yeah. Talk to us about how it's put together. Who determines the topic? Is there pre-preparation? Do you rehearse? How long is your goal, or how long do you hope it will be, the actual conversation? Talk to us a little bit about the format and preparation and such.
Yeah, the format, you know, Pastor Rock likes to go into our conversations cold, where, you know, I'll tell him that morning or the night before, hey, you know, I think let's talk about, you know, about sanctification. Just to give them a little heads up, you know, but there is really no preparation to it. There's no notes when we're recording. It's just, you know, we just hit the ground running. And, you know, so he's basically going off all his experience and study and pastoring to have the conversation. You know, if there's a scripture that kind of goes a little deeper, you know, I'll tell them, you know, maybe a day ahead, you know, 2 days ahead of time. You know, I want to look at this particular scripture. If there's anything you want to, you know, prepare for with that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to, because I don't want them to be unprepared either, you know.
Right.
But generally, you know, we just sit down and hit it running. And I like to go about, you know, no more than a half hour with our conversation because, you know, just knowing everybody, well, not everybody, I shouldn't say that, but just knowing attention spans, if you will. You know, I don't want it to be belaborious, but I want it to be interesting enough and to the point quickly, you know, so
right.
We're not belaboring the point. So it's about a half hour, you know, a little less than a half hour each week recording, and then as far as the longevity of the program, I would love it to go for years, you know, because I think it is really something that it's powerful in your life. And I don't think there's any way we could exhaust scripture as far as topics go.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and I've said several times in the beginning that if people have a topic they'd like to hear, or if they have something on their heart that they want to get a little bigger understanding, or for Pastor Rock to unpack that for them, you know, that just to email me and we'll get that on. So,
yeah, yeah. And so I guess you've learned a lot through this process.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I mean, spiritually, it's been really eye opening for me. As far as the production side of it, you know, this is something that we've done, so that end of it is really already established, but just understanding one of our first couple of shows we did was on grace, and just understanding what grace is really transformed how I see that God sees me, and how He loves me enough, and how deep that God's grace is. It's worth going back and listening to. And like you said, I believe we have like 19 conversations online that anybody can go back at any time and listen to any of them.
Mm-hmm.
And,
You
know, they're not listening to me, really. They're just, it's a great way to understand the different things that Scripture talks about.
Yeah. And I have felt for a while that just to have them on the ACAC website, not just, I mean, it's not that they're not valuable there, but what we've seen with the radio show, I was just looking at the numbers. We've had over 73,400 people listen to one of our archive shows, and so somehow people around the world follow them. I just had somebody write me from Des Moines, Iowa, that she was listening to my Saturday morning show, and she listens all the time, and how soothing it is. Soothing was not a word that I would have thought anybody would have used, but you never know who's listening, and I think this is part of our expanded influence emphasis. Would you agree?
Oh, absolutely. And that's what we want. You know, we want to get the gospel out. We want to get correct understanding and right interpretation of Scripture as part of the, you know, our expanded influence. We need to reach people as much as we can. And with today's technology, you know, John, you know more than anybody the importance of social media and using these tools that we have, and they're basically free. It's silly for us not to tap into that. Not only with, you know, the radio side.
I lost
but,
you.
We back?
Well, that happens from time to time, so I'm not going to worry about it. He will call back in. And
John.
Yeah, there you are. I lost you for a minute.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I was saying just, you know, that it's so important for us to tap into these modes of communications.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and like you said, they're free. I mean, the blog radio, I think, costs us $75 or $80 a month only because we got a toll-free number for people to call in, and it gives us a little more flexibility. But I do another blog radio show that I think we pay like $27 a month. So, you know, and I did an interview with Pastor Marvin Winans of the Winan family and had 500 people listen to it in over a weekend. And so that's 500 lives. You don't know if they were listening into a group or, you know, family, or if they downloaded it and they're listening to it over and over again. So it's just, we need to be doing more of it. What Jesus whispers to us in our inner rooms, we are to shout from the housetops. And obviously that's my philosophy with social media. Okay, I know your time is pressed. Set up, we're going to start with the latest transforming conversation, which is I've numbered TC19. Who are you in Christ? Set this up for us. Anything else you need to tell us, and then we're going to let you go. We're going to play it. It's about 30 minutes, and then I'll close out the show.
Okay. Yeah. This came from.
Whoops,
we were. I was
again.
Sitting in.
All right.
Am I
could
still
be
there?
The rain. Could be any number of problems. So, it is. I'm looking at my 28 minutes and 52 seconds, and so this is.
Are we back
and
yet?
With the weather out, it easily they could have had a problem down on the north side. So I'm just going to wait a second, see if Greg comes back on.
Are you back there, John?
He did just a moment ago. If he doesn't, then we're just going to move on and listen to this latest transforming conversation between Greg Hughes and Pastor Rock Dilliman that explains who you are in Christ. So just bear with us. We've got time. We've got time. It rained buckets, like Greg said, out here in the east part of Pittsburgh for about 2 or 3 minutes, and now the skies are clear. This has been one strange summer. So, okay. Well, okay, the call dropped, so I'm not going to worry about it. I appreciate Greg's time, and so I'm just going to go ahead and get started here. Who are you in Christ? This is the latest Transforming Confirmation. Now, this is going to be in our archives here on Blog Radio. It's also on acac.net, but we hope that you who are not a part of ACAC will be listening to this, and it will be a part of your regular listening regimen. So, who are you in Christ? Transforming Conversations. Let's listen in now.
Biblical understanding. Sometimes the most foundational, even elementary topics can be difficult to understand. So how do we grab a spiritual understanding to these things that are so crucial to our relationship with Christ?
Well,
welcome
that's not
to Transforming
well.
Conversations with Pastor Rock Dillemann.
All
with
right.
over 30 let's, years of ministry.
Put that on hold. Let me come back to Greg.
Are we back
in? The last one, I'm at about 20 seconds and nothing's playing. Is there a blank space in it? Do you know?
No, it should be fine.
Still don't have Greg. Still some problem. I don't think it's my phone button, but
are you there,
I have
John?
The mute button off. Let me try again. I don't know, Greg,
there?
If you can hear me. And
are you there, John?
So, boy, I've never had this problem before. So let me see what...
Biblical understanding. Sometimes the most foundational, even elementary topics can be difficult to understand. So how do we grab a spiritual understanding to these things that are so crucial to our relationship with Christ? Welcome to Transforming Conversations with Pastor Rock Dillemann. With over 30 years of ministry, preaching and biblical study, Pastor Rock discusses biblical topics that bring them into a fresh new light that is easy to understand. And now your host for another transforming conversation.
I can't pick up Greg or okay, Greg,
Pastor Rock sitting
here. I can't hear
the service
so,
the other weekend. We sang a song called "I Know Who I Am."
I have no idea
and
what
we all declared
here.
With our voice and singing.
I'm
I
trying
know
to refresh,
who I am
but the website
Christ.
Is not refreshing.
Not speaking
okay,
for a
just
lot
bear
of
with
people,
me here. We'll get
speaking
this
for myself.
And, there we go.
Who
and
are
we
in
try
Christ?
One more time.
Do we really know? Because if we really know who right. we are.
Very strange. Very strange. I'm going to put, now I don't have a button that shows to play the Who Are You in Christ. Let me refresh one more time. Must be the website. And it must be my studio site. So let me retry to do that. Sorry, you get to listen in on as I'm thinking out loud of what I'm going to do here. Greg, are you there? No, I'm sure you probably can hear me. All right, let's try it again.
Biblical
right,
understanding.
I'm
going to
let it play.
Sometimes
even
the most foundational, even elementary topics
and,
can be difficult
and
to understand.
I'll come back at the end of the
so
show.
How
Greg,
do we grab
hear me,
a spiritual understanding to these things
and,
that are
we'll
so crucial to our relationship
and,
with Christ?
Welcome you can
to
hear
Transforming
it,
Conversations
so, this is Transforming
with Pastor Rock Dillemann. With over 30 years of ministry, preaching, and biblical study, Pastor Rock discusses biblical topics that bring them into a fresh new light that is easy to understand and apply to our lives. And now, your host for another transforming conversation, Greg Hughes.
Pastor Rock, sitting in the service the other weekend, we sang a song called "I Know Who I Am." And we all declared with our voice and singing, "I know who I am in Christ." Not speaking for a lot of people, but speaking for myself. Who are we in Christ? Do we really know? Because if we really know who we are in Christ, the logical part of me says, then I should be living that way, and I should be confident, and I should be not living in fear and chasing the different things that the world has, if I really knew who I was in Christ. So that's my question to you. Who are we? Really?
You're having a crisis of identity. You don't know who you are.
Who are we in Christ? You know, and how, why it should impact the way we live.
Oh, absolutely. In fact, consistently, the message of Scripture, and especially the epistles of the New Testament, is about knowing who you are and then living in conformity with who you are.
Right.
I mean, I think of Paul's letter to the Ephesians. He begins with identity statements, you know, to those who are accepted in Christ and accepted in the Beloved and saints of God in Ephesus. You know, then he basically talks about living in conformity with that identity. When Paul talks about living worthy of your calling and who you are, he's calling saints to live in conformity with their true identity. And so even where he is going to be correcting a body of believers in a city, in a region. He always begins in his opening lines by affirming their identity as saints and accepted and chosen and, you know, royal priesthood, et cetera, because Paul understood that if you're convinced you're garbage, you'll live like garbage. And if you're convinced you're a saint, it'll facilitate your living like a saint.
That's a great word, convinced. To be convinced that I am accepted in Christ should change the way I live.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because the world is full of insecure people. I mean, the whole selfie phenomenon,
right?
The celebrity fixation of our culture, the social media fixations and addictions.
All looking for affirmation.
They're all looking for affirmation. Mm-hmm. Look at me. Look at me. Somebody see me. Somebody value me. Somebody approve me. How many likes did I get to my changing my, you know, my Facebook photo? How many likes did I get? Well, and then I change it 2 days later to see how many likes I get. I mean, it's sad, really. It's a sad commentary on people who don't really have a God-given sense of identity.
And it'd be interesting to see what kind of counseling has emerged from all the social media. I'm sure there is.
Yeah, but, I mean, and I just saw today on one of the morning news shows of the three major networks, you know, they're showing that people checking Facebook and tweets and so on, it's addictive behavior. It releases the endorphins just like other addictive behaviors.
No kidding.
And which is why, because they were covering it in the context of people, even though they know it's illegal and dangerous to be texting and checking their phones while they're driving, yet they're still doing it in huge numbers. And because it's become addictive, they've got to have that hit, just like doing drugs or having chocolate or whatever your addiction is. They're getting the endorphins and the hit through social media. But much of it is driven by narcissism. I mean, and I'm not saying that as a, you know, fuddy-duddy Christian sitting on the sidelines complaining about the world. I've seen secular articles that have said Facebook is a business plan built on narcissism.
And, look at me.
And it's working.
It's all
because
about me.
They knew that's why it would work, because of the narcissism. I don't check it very often, maybe once a day, maybe not at all. But I just marvel at how often some people post. And everything they post is a picture of them. I mean, really,
yeah.
If you're posting a picture of yourself 5 times a day, honey, you have got a problem.
Right, where's your identity?
You're just screaming, look at me, look at me, look at me, look at me. Why? Why do you need people to look at you? Why do you need that attention? Why do you need affirmation? Why do you need likes? Don't you know who you are?
We don't know who we are.
Well, that's sad, yes. And, of course, the unbelieving world that increasingly rejects the idea of God as creator, because if God's your creator, then you're accountable to him. What are they left with as far as knowing who they are? Hi, I'm an accident of evolutionary forces. My life has no meaning.
Right.
When I'll die, I'll die like, you know, a bug. I mean, and then it's over.
Mm-hmm.
So I live a meaningless existence and then I die. But while I'm doing it, look at me. Look at me. I mean, sadly, the world, where do they turn for their sense of identity? To science?
to others.
Science can't give you your sense of identity. And so they turned other people in the same boat that's sinking. And we look at each other while we sink in some failed attempt to find meaning. In contrast, God's people should know who they are. And Scripture, when you ask the question, knowing who we are, well, I think there are several layers to knowing who we are in Christ. First, because of the opening chapters of Genesis, we know we are created beings designed by a loving, wise, powerful God who is wholly other, totally different than us, perfect in all of his ways, but who in his perfection chose to create us, I believe, because God is love, and love needs to love. Love needs an object. Love needs something to which it can express itself. And, you know, I don't subscribe to the old Langston Hughes poem that, you know, God was lonely and created man because he was lonely, because Jesus makes it clear there's fellowship within the Trinity.
I never heard that.
Yeah.
That's a poem?
Mm-hmm. Pretty well-known poem. And but not the basis for a good theology.
No.
Because Jesus, you know, high priestly prayer in John 17 was that his disciples would love one another as he and the Father and the Spirit love one another. So, and God also has the angelic beings to love. So he didn't create us out of need, but love wants to love. And we were created to be the objects and the recipients of God's love. So identifying ourselves first as the creation of a loving, all-powerful, perfect, all-wise, holy being. That's the beginning of identity, which is why people who've been raised on evolutionary theory as fact and creation as myth, that's why they're so susceptible to the whole Facebook and social media phenomenon, because, you know, they've accepted the lie that they are nothing but the product of blind, unthinking chance and physical forces. Well, so what are you then? You're just a glorified amoeba? I mean,
that's it.
You're the product of chance.
Even understanding
your life has no meaning.
Even understanding just how you put it, the all-powerful, all-knowing creator of everything, you are his object of love.
You were created to be the recipient of his love. You were created in his image to know his love and to love him in return. And in so doing, to find your meaning, to find your identity.
Even grasping that.
Oh, yeah.
Powerful.
Yeah, so that's why I say the first step of knowing who you are in Christ is to know who you are as God's creation. So the first step towards knowing who you are is the opening lines of Genesis.
Just to share a quick, maybe to illustrate that, I was at a conference and I was introduced to the president of this organization, the top guy. Never met him before in my life. I was introduced to him, well known throughout the whole organization. And then some other gentlemen come up right as we were talking, and this president of the organization introduced me to this other guy. And he says, oh, this is my friend Greg, and, you know, and I'll tell you what that did for me, just thinking I was introduced as the president's friend to these guys, just shot me through the roof, man. Inside, mm-hmm. I was thinking, I felt like I was worth $1 million. But now to say that was just a created guy.
Yes.
Now relating that to what, for God to say, you know what, you are my object of love. And for us to grab a hold of that,
right,
and to say, you know, before the universe, this is my child.
Yeah. Yeah.
Holy cow.
That delivers you from insecurity. It delivers you from insignificance.
It really does.
Yes. Yeah.
It's a knowing, just that first
Which is
step.
Why Satan so violently attacks the opening lines of Genesis.
Yeah, that's powerful. You know, just that little grasping, that little understanding of your God.
If you get
object.
A hold of who you were meant to be by creation, then why would you ever follow the lies of Satan?
Right, exactly right.
Satan knows that, so he attacks the opening lines of Genesis through atheistic evolutionary theory. And as I said a few weeks ago, he attacks the second lines, male and female, he created them, through the whole LGBTQ movement and the whole transgender business and so on. That's just a frontal attack on God's creation, because Satan knows those opening lines of Genesis is where we find our identity. And if he can persuade us that they're bunk, then we'll be left with false definitions of who we are.
And if he can destroy that understanding, just that basic understanding,
everything else tumbles.
Everything else tumbles.
Exactly.
That's exactly right.
Yep.
In another word, you said that we are this royal priesthood.
Right, yeah. So the beginning of understanding who you are is Genesis and creation. Then the rest of Scripture basically tells us that sin, having entered the world, mars the image of God, defaces the image of God, robs us of our intended identity and our intended experience, but that God in Christ has made a way for us to be restored. And once we're restored, then you read those descriptions of what restored human beings are, and they include a chosen race, a people for God's own possession, accepted by God, beloved by God, a royal priesthood. There are a number of terms that are used in the New Testament to describe those who have been redeemed in Christ. And they're like the different facets of a diamond. They're all true. They're not in contradiction to one another. They're complementary. And each one of them has something to say about who we are. For example, a royal priesthood. Well, priests do two things. They represent God to people, and they represent people to God.
That's what the priests do.
That's what a priest does. A priest represents God to the people, and then he represents the people to God. For example, Moses functioned in a priestly fashion. God spoke to Moses, and
right.
Moses echoed what God had spoken to the people. He represented God to the people as he brought the Ten Commandments and all the other commandments of God. But he also represented the people to God by interceding for them, seeking God's blessing upon them, prevailing upon God not to punish them for their wickedness. So royal priesthood means, well, you're royal because you're in Christ, who is the supreme royalty of the universe, and you're a royal priesthood because as a believer, we're called to represent God to people through the declaration of the gospel and the way we live, and we're called to represent people to God, to bring their needs before the throne of grace and mercy through intercessory prayer.
Almost as an ambassador.
That's another title. We are ambassadors for Christ. That's another one Paul uses. Well, what's an ambassador? An ambassador represents. He doesn't have unilateral power.
Okay.
So an ambassador for the United States represents the leadership of the United States, the people of the United States, and the interests of the United States. But an ambassador doesn't legislate. He's a representative. As ambassadors for Christ, we don't write the ground rules. We don't write the legislation.
Exactly.
Life. We don't legislate morality. God does that. But we represent him and speak on his behalf.
And he gives us that authority.
Oh, yes. He gives us that calling. He gives us a commandment to do so. The commandment to preach the gospel is a commandment to represent the interests of God and the purposes of God to the human race. So, you know, so we're ambassadors. We're accepted in the beloved, which means because God loves Jesus. This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. And because he will always accept and love Christ, if we are truly in Christ through the regenerating work of the Holy Spirit, and Christ is in us through that regenerating work, well, if I'm in Christ and Christ is eternally loved by God, I'm eternally loved by
God.
That's right. So that's why Paul could say to the Ephesians, you are accepted in the beloved. So all these accepted, royal priesthood, ambassadors for Christ, saints, only two categories of people in the world, saints and ain'ts. You know, you're either for God or you're against him. You're either in Christ or you're not in Christ.
That's right.
It's only two categories. You're either walking in the light or you're walking in the darkness. So, to be a saint, we tend to interpret that as, perfect in your conduct. Well, there are no people perfect in their conduct. But when God uses the saint term saint, it means somebody who is set apart because of their relationship to him, because of their identity as his possession, a people for God's possession. God values us. We are the valued possessions of God. I read of an old man in Britain in the last century who, anytime there was a difficulty in his life, he would pray, Lord, your property is in danger. Because he understood he was God's property.
That's right.
And we are. That's why Paul said, even your body, your physical body, is not your own. You have been bought with a price. Your body belongs to the Lord. And it exists for the glory and the purposes of God. Which is why, I would say to the woman who wants to have an abortion because of her rights over her own body, I would say that's based on a flawed political premise. The reality is you don't have rights over your own body if you understand your body belongs to the Lord.
That's right.
He has the rights over it, not you.
That's right.
Because where were you when he created you and breathed the breath of life into you and made you a living soul?
Job understood that.
Now Job came to understand that.
You know, the word you said, a possession, just thinking through, I remember Paul saying that we are to be slaves. And I always equated that word with negativity, but it's not. I don't think Paul,
no, Paul was thinking in the terms of bond slave, which was in the Old Testament and in ancient Israel, with somebody who chose to put themselves under a master. They weren't forced to, but they chose to put themselves under a master because they believed or they understood that they were far better off under that master than they ever would be on their own independently. So it wasn't slavery like existed in the early days of our nation or in many places of the world yet today. Not that dehumanizing exploitation of people.
Right. That's what I don't know why I always drew that picture when I read that, that it was something...
Of course, that's why Jesus said, I no longer call you my slaves, I call you my friends.
Even that, to be called a friend...
Yeah, that's why we sing that song, I am a friend of God. That's taken from Scripture.
Right. Yeah, and if we get a hold
and
of these...
And sin, then, is the betrayal of your friendship.
Your betrayal.
Say, if you have a friend and they betray you, you would say, why did you do that as my friend? When we sin, God essentially says the same thing. Why would you do that as my friend?
Why are you doing this to me? Yeah, that's...
So there's so many facets to being in relationship with God that human words can't capture them all. So that's why the writers of Scripture, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, used a variety of terms, from friend of God to servant to ambassador to royal priesthood to accepted to possession. Each is just a different facet of the same reality.
Even going back, if we just understood a few of these, how it really should, and I can't get away from it, how it really should change the way I think,
well,
the way I
live.
Well,
we tend to live up or down to our levels, or our labels, excuse me. We tend to live up or down to our labels. There's an old expression I heard years ago that captures that. It said, a man can call his son a jackass once, but if he calls him that every day, the day will come when he can put a saddle on him and ride him. And it's just a poetic way of saying people will live up or down to their label. If you tell a person all the time, you're a disappointment, you're a failure, well, they're going to tend to live down to that level. If you say to a person, and it's genuine, you're a child of God, created in His image, His possession, redeemed by the blood of Christ, indwelt by Christ, a saint, a member of the royal priesthood, an ambassador for God, then people are going to tend to live up to that label. Call a man a fool, he'll tend to live like a fool. Call him a saint, he'll tend to live like a saint. Because we humanly tend to live up or down to the labels that, not just that people put on us, but that we accept.
That we accept. I heard it.
Which is why if a parent denigrates a child, they do such horrific damage, because a child intuitively trusts a parent. So if my dad tells me I'm a piece of crap, I must be.
It's amazing how that works.
Oh, yeah.
And that could even be another topic. I thought about speaking over your children or speaking over somebody.
Oh, yeah.
Or speaking negative
words
about a situation.
Words are really powerful.
Right. Speaking negative about any situation. I was convicted of that last night. I had some thoughts, and I just let those thoughts out to my wife, which were not uplifting and positive to somebody else. And I think the Holy Spirit just caught me and said, don't even speak that way about the situation.
Mm-hmm.
Because your words...
Words have power.
Right.
The old thing, sticks and stones, that's not true. Long after the wound of a stick or a stone is forgotten, the wounds of a word might tyrannize a life. I mean, I've counseled tons of people whose lives were tyrannized by a word spoken about them or over them by somebody of import in their life. And 30, 40 years later, they're still wrestling with it.
It's amazing. That's why when we really need to understand who we are.
Right. That's why, like when Paul, almost all of the New Testament epistles contain correctives. You know, you're doing something you should not be doing, or you're not doing something you should be doing. But yet, they don't start, if you read the opening of Paul's epistles, they don't start by saying, all right, you losers, I don't know where your head is, but listen up.
Right.
No, they start with Paul, an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the saints of God in Colossae, to the saints of God in Ephesus, to the church, holy and beloved, chosen of God. And in those little introductions, Paul strategically affirms their identity, and on the basis of their identity, then appeals to them to ratchet it up and be consistent with their identity. That's when the scripture says, walk worthy of your calling, as Paul says in Thessalonians and elsewhere, it's what he's saying is, bring your conduct into conformity with your identity.
Of who you are in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
That's
live
right.
Like who you are.
And I would think that the more we purposely live that way, the mind will follow. The mind will start getting behind that and affirming who we are in Christ.
Yeah, theology feeds behavior. Behavior reinforces theology.
Time again.
Yep.
Goes quick.
Goes quickly, and that's good because I've got another appointment.
Well, thank you for your time, sir.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right. Well, we made it work. I apologize. Over a 3-year period, I've had a problem. Only, you could count the number of times on one hand. One time we just couldn't bring the guests on, and today I had to continue to reopen the website and keep calling in to my host number. But finally, I was at least hearing it, and Greg assured me all along you were. So I apologize for the stop and the start on several occasions. But now, do you know who you are in Christ? Some very thought-provoking discussion, and it's just a conversation, and we get to listen in like any talk show really is, between Greg and Pastor Rock talking about this particular topic. So I think next week, looking ahead, we're probably going to do another transforming conversation. Maybe I'll have Greg come back on and set it up. We'll see what his schedule is like and if he has the time. And if he doesn't, we're not going to worry about it. We will proceed accordingly. But this is John Stanko, your host. Let me just say one other thing. The other thought I may have is, I mentioned to you I was down south on a civil rights tour for 8 days. I may just go ahead and report on that for next week. In 2 weeks, Michael Gregory from our aftercare ministry is already scheduled to be on. So we're going to play this by ear through the summer, see how it goes. But my thanks to Greg, my thanks to Pastor Rock, and my thanks to you for listening. This is John Stanko, your host for Ministry Beat. I haven't been in church for a month because of my travels, but I'm going to be in this weekend. Look forward to hearing Pastor Rock and seeing you. In the meantime, see you around campus. Take care, and thanks for listening into Ministry Beat.
Thanks again for listening to this week's edition of Ministry Beat with your host, John Stanko. Join us again next Tuesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time on the ACAC Internet Radio Network for more interviews and insight into the life of Allegheny Center Alliance Church. You can also access this show by going online to www.blogtalkradio.com/ACAC Threads. Thank you, and tell your friends about Ministry Beat.